We were promised mobile payments, but apparently they're off with the jetpack somewhere. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. The big telecom show, Mobile World Congress, kicks off in Barcelona this week. Expect a lot of talk about phones and the things you can do with them. And after reports last week that Apple and Goldman Sachs might launch some sort of credit card, maybe tied to the iPhone's digital wallet, there will probably be plenty of talk about mobile payments. But weren't we supposed to be paying for everything with our phones by now already? Lisa Ellis covers payment services at the research firm Moffitt Nathanson. She said, when we moved to chip-based credit cards a few years back, we kind of missed the mobile boat.
It was expected that merchants and banks would roll out the contactless method of doing that at the same time. That technology's been around for many, many years, but it was expensive, and as a result, they didn't do it then. So we're sort of still sitting in this world where, you know, we now insert the card with the chip at the point of sale, and, you know, and we're still a little bit stuck.
It sounds like you're also saying that consumers are just not dying for this, you know, partly because they yeah. don't know. What is, I mean, I'm dying for it. I want to pay my with my phone.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the sense of urgency is definitely starting to build. But certainly as of 2-3 years ago, it was not there. I mean, meaning the reality is pulling your card out and using your card at the point of sale is just not that hard. And because that infrastructure is so ubiquitous and so durable, many consumers are just like, they don't bother.
And then I guess the only other thing I wonder is there some big benefit that we're missing out on, you know, by not making this move?
So I think a big promise of moving to mobile payments is not so much just about the payment. It's actually having the payment embedded in the app. Like, this is along the lines of what Apple is rolling out with their new cards in their digital wallet, being able to monitor and track and help you with your financial health through an app at the same time and in real time while you're making payments. Or extend you credit or offer you a promotion in real time while you're making a payment or in and around the payment. That's what we're really missing out on when you're using a physical card, right? Because it's just a physical card. You can't do any of that. There's no app around it. But when you have an app, all of a sudden the world is just wide open to offer some of these other things, extend credit, offer loyalty and promotional programs, help you with your financial health. You know, literally this is like Siri leaning over your shoulder telling you, are you sure you want to buy those shoes? You're already over your budget for the month. It's that sort of thing that's kind of the promise of mobile payments, you know, more than just the sort of seamless payment itself. It's the what else can you do in and around that payment when it's embedded in an app and connected to your phone?
Lisa Ellis leads payments research at the firm Moffitt Nathanson. I said maybe I don't want Siri judging my shoe purchases after all, and as it turns out, a recent report from Juniper Research found that the U.S. market is more likely to move to credit cards that you just tap for payment instead of mobile payment apps. And now for some related links. For what it's worth, we've asked both Apple and Goldman Sachs for more details on what the supposed Apple credit card might be, whether it's a physical card or something attached to the Apple Pay wallet, because it's totally unclear right now. But they didn't get back to us to clarify. Mobile payments are still just kind of messy and difficult. One Mobile World Congress preview suggested that maybe cryptocurrency payments will once again be part of the conversation, but it's not like that's going to make things less messy. That story is on our website, marketplacetech.org. And for a look at how hard it would be to try to live wallet-free here in the U.S., even in tech-forward San Francisco, Jessica Dolcourt has a piece over at CNET about leaving her wallet at home and having to survive a day with just her phone to pay for things. Upshot, there were some stressful moments. And possibly the thing that argues the most for a physical card is that if your phone battery dies or you end up somewhere without service, you actually can't pay for anything. What do you think? Do you use your phone to pay for stuff? Do you want to? Email me or send me a voice memo at mptech@marketplace.org. I gotta say, I'm thinking that between the battery life and Siri snooping on me all the time, maybe I don't want mobile payments so much after all. And speaking of telecom and privacy, there is a Senate Commerce Committee hearing Wednesday on privacy and data protections. But interestingly, only members of the telecom industry will be speaking at the hearing. Privacy advocates and consumer groups are not on the witness list. Also, according to Politico and The Hill, Senator Roger Wicker, the Republican chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, will attend a fundraiser hosted by lobbyists for AT&T and U.S. Telecom the night before the hearing. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.